Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining me on the show. You can call in right now, 888-914-9149. That's the number to call, toll free to talk to me. You can also email the show, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, and the show account is at Cale Clark Show. Lots of cool stuff to talk about today. I'm going to ask you if you might be suffering from something called solitude deprivation. That's what I'm calling it, solitude deprivation. Now, chances are, if you are suffering from this, you might not even know about it. So we'll get into that later on. Lots of other cool stuff coming up as well. Going to talk about St. Bartholomew the Apostle. Is he the same guy as Nathaniel? I've got a take on that. But before we do all that, I've got a question for you, and you can call in right now, 888-914-9149. What's the best piece of advice that you ever received? The best piece of advice that you've ever received. I want you to pass that on to our listening public, to me as well, because I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to get better. I could use some good advice all the time, and I'm sure you could as well. 888-914-9149. Now, what's inspiring this? Well, I saw a tweet, kind of a thread here, a little bit. Actually, it wasn't a thread. It was just a question by this guy named Sahil Bloom on Twitter, S-A-H-I-L Bloom. He used to be a pitcher for Stanford University. Now he's kind of an entrepreneur type guy. Really interesting dude. I like his Twitter feed. And he just threw out the question, what is the single most impactful piece of advice you've ever received? And he got a lot of replies. He's got a lot of followers on Twitter. And here's one that came through. And this is from Sahil himself. He said, regret is much more painful than failure. Regret is much more painful than failure. That's a really good piece of advice, something to meditate on. And so his wife actually chimed in as well. Elizabeth, she said, walk like you have 3,000 ancestors behind you. That's kind of a cool thought. It's like having an invisible army behind you. We can do that as Catholics, you know, all the saints, the angels, who we can't see with our physical eyes, but they're there. They're that spiritual backup. That's a cool one as well. If I can't trust you, it doesn't matter how smart you are. Good one. So lots of good stuff. And some funny stuff as well. One guy said, where is it? He said, wear shower shoes in your dorm bathroom. That's probably a good piece of advice. Another guy said, This is a pretty funny one. I'm just kind of scrolling through this. This is great radio, eh? You're just listening to me scroll through. There's a really funny one. I'll find it. Here it is. I just wanted to make sure I got the wording correct on this one. Chris Moore said, don't fry bacon with your shirt off. Okay. Noted. That's a pretty good piece of advice. So maybe you've got something that's a little bit more on the ridiculous side like that. Maybe something a little bit more sublime. I want to hear it. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever received? It could be something about your faith, the faith journey, your life, work. Could be anything. How to hit the curveball? Let me know. 888-914. I could have been a contender. I could have been in the major leagues if I could only hit the curveball. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. And as you're calling in, I want to talk to you about St. Bartholomew, the Apostle. Now, a lot of people think he's the same guy as Nathaniel, who's mentioned in John's Gospel in John chapter 1. And in fact, the Gospel for today comes to us from John chapter 1. It's the account of Nathaniel. So clearly, whoever put the liturgical readings together thinks the same thing. So let's check it out. John chapter 1 here. And I'm going to just fast forward to today's reading. And here we go. This is, Let's pick it up at verse 43 of John chapter 1. It says, "The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" Now, by the way, Nathanael, anytime you see a name, a biblical name with an L at the end, E-L, that's the name of God. So it's incorporating the name of God, like Michael, St. Michael the Archangel. Michael means who is like God. It's a question. It's not a statement. I've had a lot of people named Michael try to tell me it means I'm like God. Well, hopefully you are in your character growing to be like God. But no, it's actually a question. Who is like God? And the answer is, of course, no one is like God. God is unique. There is none other like him. So Nathanael has the name of God in his name as well, like Gabriel, which I believe means the strength of God, if memory serves. Nathanael. Don't ask me what Nathanael means. I knew you were going to ask me that. I got to look it up. Maybe you know. Call in, 888-914-9149. That's something I forgot to look at. But anyway, so Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." That's a great statement. In fact, in some Bibles, it's translated this way. "Behold, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." That would be a great thing if Jesus could say that about you and me, that we're just clear, we're transparent. There's no deceit in us. There's no guile. Very straightforward. And by the way, it's kind of a pun. Jesus is hilarious, by the way. His sense of humor is unbelievable. As you might imagine, he's God. He's got some great jokes. But it's actually kind of a pun. "Behold, an Israelite indeed. Here's a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." Well, Israel, don't forget, was the new name of Jacob. Jacob is renamed by God in the book of Genesis as Israel. And of course, Jacob was known as the trickster or the liar. That's what the name Jacob means, because of course he tricked his brother Esau. He tricked him out of the inheritance, tricked his dad, tricked everybody. And, you know, he got his comeuppance in various ways. If you listen to the Genesis series that we did on the Faith Explained show that I hosted, you can go to that section on the life of Jacob / Israel. And of course, he's wrestling with God, wrestling with the angel, if you will. That's also a great, great account. And speaking of Jacob, he's going to come up again in just a second. But I just thought it's a great pun by Jesus. Hey, here is a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false. Not like the original Israel, Jacob, who, of course, was a trickster. Anyways, there it is for what it's worth. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So whatever happened under that fig tree, maybe just got bonked in the head by a fig. No, I don't think figs are that. It's not like Isaac Newton. It's not as heavy as an apple hitting you on the head. But anyways, maybe that happened 5 minutes before Philip found him, sitting under a fig tree, maybe meditating. You know, when's the Messiah going to come? Maybe something else happened in the past. Who knows? Maybe that's a reference to some seminal event that happened in the life of Nathanael under a fig tree, and Jesus somehow knows about this. His divine knowledge, he's able to tell him about this. Before Philip called you, whenever that was, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered him, wow. Like, he just absolutely, right on the spot, believes now he's the Messiah. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So that's another reference, of course, to Jacob, who becomes renamed as Israel, Jacob's ladder, the ladder to heaven. the stairway to heaven, if you will, as Led Zeppelin would sing about. Jim, we got to get that song as a rejoin, maybe going to break. But now, by the way, that's not actually a ladder. This whole thing about angels and ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, that's a reference, of course, to the dream that Jacob had, Jacob's ladder to heaven. But it really wasn't a ladder. It was more of a stairway to heaven. And that's a reference to what's called a ziggurat. So pass me a ziggurat as we listen to Led Zeppelin. What's a ziggurat with a Z? Well, that is, in fact, in an ancient temple, and there are a lot of ancient pagan temples in the world, there would be this staircase on the outside of the temple that would go up to the very, very top, and there'd be this platform at the top, and that's where you would meet with your God, who would come down and meet with you way, way up in the heavens. And by the way, the whole Tower of Babel that we read about in Genesis chapter 11, that is, in fact, in all likelihood, not like the Leaning Tower of Pisa or something like this, or the Sears Tower in Chicago. We're talking about a ziggurat. In other words, it's this big temple that they were trying to build to get to God, to sort of take over from him. We're going to climb up here. We're going to show him who's boss. Not a good idea. Not a good idea at all. That is for sure. But that's what Jesus is referencing when he says, "Truly I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And so this idea that Jesus really is that stairway to heaven, that ladder, that we can, that he is the way to get to God. He is that bridge, the ladder, the cross. We got to climb up on the cross with Jesus in order to be united with him, in order to meet with God. So lots of cool stuff we can say about this. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So when it comes to this whole question, and I wanted to ask you this question, you can call in with your answer. What is the best piece of advice, the most life-changing advice you've ever received? Could be funny, could be serious. Call in right now, 888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call for The Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. You can also tweet as well. I asked when I tweeted about today's show, you can follow me at Cale Clark. Underneath, I just said, hey, drop your response below. I sort of put out a little précis of what we're going to talk about on the show today. Hey, what's the best advice you've ever received? You can drop it in the comments below. Or just tag me on Twitter, and maybe I'll ask Patrick Alog to just monitor the Twitter account, see what's going on there. And some people might drop their words of wisdom there. Well, I would say the best piece of advice, let's face it, it's not one of the best pieces, but it's the best piece of advice that Nathaniel ever got was, you need to check out this Jesus guy. You really need to meet him. I don't know. He's from Nazareth. Come on, nobody good comes from Nazareth. No, seriously, you have to meet him. And he said, all right, I'll go. And it changed his life. Now, whether or not he actually is Bartholomew, that is up for debate. My present thought, now, this isn't a matter of faith, by the way. You can believe whatever you want about this. This isn't part of the, this isn't a dogma that you have to believe. So some people in the church clearly think he's the same guy. That's why on the Feast of St. Bartholomew, we have this reading about Nathanael. And if you read through church history, there are a lot of figures that thought that he was the guy. And maybe he was. I'm not saying he wasn't, okay? But there's also some evidence against it. And it has to do with his very name. There's a great, great biblical scholar by the name of Richard Balcom. And he wrote this book about how the Gospels are eyewitness testimony to Jesus. It's called Jesus and the Eyewitnesses, the Gospels as Eyewitness Testimony. And that's what Peter says in one of his letters in St. Peter. He wrote about this in the New Testament. He said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he was talking about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration at the time. He's like, hey, we were there. We saw this. We're not making up cleverly invented stories. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And there's lots of reasons to believe that the Gospels are full, chock full of eyewitness testimony to Jesus. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. So he's got this section in the book about names. And I mentioned this before in the past, names in the first century. And he has this little section called How to Tell Simon from Simon. By the way, that was the number one most popular male name in Jewish Palestine was Simon. So there are a lot of Simons running around. How do you know who is who? Well, there's different ways to talk about people's names. For example, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Now, why is he called Zacchaeus? Well, that wasn't actually his name. His name was probably Zechariah, right? And we've heard about Zechariah, of course, in the Gospel of Luke. And so that was a popular name, too. So Zacchaeus was called, was really Zechariah, but he was probably called that to distinguish him from maybe his dad. It's very common for a dad and his son to have the same name, or a grandfather or an uncle or somebody like that to have the same name in the family. And that's why when John the Baptist, when he is, remember how his dad, Zechariah, is struck dumb because he doesn't believe Gabriel, he doesn't believe the angel, and he can't say anything. And then when it comes time to name the child, he writes on this tablet, his name is John. They're like, hey, what are you talking about? No one in your family is named John. Trust me, his name is John. So that's the way it was done. You would share family names. So Zacchaeus is the short form of Zechariah. It was probably in Hebrew, it was Zacchai, but it's kind of fitting because he was a short dude. So there you have it. Another way to tell people's names apart, add the name of your dad. And that's all over the New Testament, right? Levi, son of Alphaeus, Mark 2:14. John, son of Zechariah, Luke 3:2. Jesus, son of Joseph. Now, Jesus himself was referred to as the son of Joseph, or so it was thought. Of course, his foster father, true father, but yet, you know what I'm talking about. There are a lot of people with the name Jesus. The name Jesus is Joshua, Yeshua. A lot of people were named Jesus. So there's a lot of different Jesuses running around, not Jesus of Nazareth. And that's another way, by the way, where you're from, Jesus of Nazareth. And, oh, okay, that makes sense. So that's another way. But the son of whoever was a really, really big way to tell people apart, like Bartimaeus. Anytime you see Bar, it means son of, like Simon Bar Jonah. Jesus calls Peter, before he changes his name to Peter, is Simon. Simon Bar Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, or Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus. So there are also nicknames, all kinds of things. Like, for example, James the Lesser. It might not have been because he's, younger than the other James. It could be because he was actually shorter, James the Lesser. Ha ha ha. Okay, funny stuff. Lots of examples like that in history. But when it comes to, let's fast forward a bit. I don't want to bore you, but the Bartholomew. Okay, now how do we know that Bartholomew is Nathaniel? Well, he might be, but it's not really, if you're playing the numbers game, they might be two different guys. Again, not that this really matters at the end of the day, but Bartholomew, that means son of Talmai, or Bar Tolmai, okay, son of Tolmai. Not a common name at all. It was like the number 50th most popular name. So if there's an apostle named Bartholomew, there's no real reason to give him another name because you're not going to confuse him with someone else. Like Simon, there's so many Simons running around. There's Simon Peter, there's Simon the Tanner, there's this Simon, that Simon, Simon the Cananean, Simon the Zealot. There's so many of them, right? Not the case with Bartholomew. And Nathaniel, also not a popular name at all. So if you're just looking at the data there, and we live in a data-crunching society. I know Tim Fox might be listening. You'd love this, all the names and crunching the data. So anyways, Richard Balcom says, probably not the same guy. But for what it's worth, I just thought I'd share that. But I will say this. He got the best piece of advice that anybody could ever get, which is, hey, go and see Jesus. Check this out. So I want to hear about the best advice you've ever received. What's the best thing that anyone has ever said to you to change your life? Could be a funny piece of advice as well. We'd like to laugh on this show. Give me a call right now, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're going to hear from you right after this break. Plus, much more on The Cale Clark Show. Talk to you soon. Hang on. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. I asked you before the break, what is your favorite piece of advice, the most life-changing piece of advice you've ever received? I want to hear about this. 888-914-9149. We talked before the break about Nathaniel, who may or may not be Bartholomew. If you're interested in that, if you missed that discussion, check the podcast. I should be up within an hour after the show, wherever you get your podcasts, and also, of course, on the Relevant Radio app and the Relevant Radio website. Now, Nathaniel got the advice that he should check out Jesus, and he did, and it was absolutely transformative. Changed eternity. Changed the course of history. And when he said to Jesus, well, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel, that's not only a true statement, it's kind of a little aspiration, if you will. And I just want to mention this really quickly, because sometimes when we're praying, sometimes when we're struggling to pray, and there's always stuff to talk about with God, and prayer is nothing more than a conversation with God, and we should talk to Him about everything, about our hopes, our joys, our desires, our troubles, our decisions that we have to make, ask for wisdom. There's so many things and so many ways we could talk about prayer. You've heard, of course, of the acronym ACTS. It's like the Acts of the Apostles, A-C-T-S. And really, if you break down the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, it's kind of organized along these lines. The A is adoration, or hallowed be thy name, right? The C is confession, you know, forgive us our trespasses. The T is thanksgiving. Give us this day our daily bread. And the S, we give Him thanks for that. And the S, of course, is supplication. That's when we say, I should have done that backwards, of course. Give us this day our daily bread. We give us the things that we need. But also our super substantial bread, of course, the Eucharist. That's always a great kind of framework. And you say, well, what's the adoration part all about? Well, the adoration is the same thing as thanksgiving. Think about all the things that you can give thanks for. And that glorifies God, that He gives us these gifts, and we can thank Him for that. But sometimes when we're praying, especially during these times, now, of course, there are vocal prayers like the rosary, and many of you will be joining in, of course, with the family rosary across America from Maui to Maine. We had a caller from Maui yesterday with Father Rocky. Now, that's, of course, a vocal prayer, but there are also mental prayers we could pray. This is our sort of conversational prayer. But sometimes you feel a little bit dry during those times. That's when you can really take one of these aspirations and throw them on the fire. And there's a few of them in the Bible. And St. Jose Maria Escrivá, he said that it's a little bit like you're taking some kindling. And if you've ever been to a campfire, of course, you need these little branches. A lot of you are having summer campfires, end of summer. It's nice to be able to throw those little sticks on the fire. And eventually, you're going to get the thing going, and you're going to create a blaze. And that's what we really want to do in our prayer. And these aspirations are kind of like that kindling that we can throw on the fire. So Nathaniel says, wow, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. That's a great prayer. That's a great aspiration. But there's so many, even in the scriptures, that we can use. Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have not revealed these things to the wise and learned, but to little children. And for that, I give you praise. But just before he raises Lazarus from the dead, he said, I thank you, Lord. And he's praying out loud so that people can hear him. I know that you always hear me. I know that you always hear me. I give you thanks that you always hear me. But I'm saying this for the benefit of everyone here so that they know that you always hear me. And then, of course, he raises him from the dead. And that's a good aspiration for us to pray as well. I give you thanks, Father, for you always hear me. What about in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will, but yours be done. Take this chalice from me. And it's a good thing to pray, a good aspiration to pray when we're going through suffering. Not my will, but thine be done. So Jesus had a lot of aspirations in his own prayer life that we can read about in the Gospels. We can take those, make them our own, even come up with some others of our own. But don't forget, our Lord was also moved by the aspirations, these little sentences, these little, I guess you could tweet them almost, the little short prayers, and they moved his heart. They moved his heart, like the leper that encounters him in Mark chapter 1, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And of course, he says, I am willing, be clean. He touches him, he heals him, and he does the same with us as well. Blind Bartimaeus, right? Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. We were talking about the son of, all the names before the break. he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And I was like, "Be quiet, shut up. He's got things to do. He's got, places to go. He doesn't have time for you," but he did have time for him. He has time for everyone. Jesus stops and he helps him. So, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That's a great, great little aspiration as well. What about that dad? Remember that dad, the boy who was possessed? And Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. We were talking about that majesty. St. Peter says, "Hey, we were with him on the holy mountain. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty." They saw all the stuff, and then they have to descend back into the valley of sin, of everyday problems, and demon-infested humanity. And there's this dad who says, "What can I do?" He says, "I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief." That's a great prayer. "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to get stronger in this." So there's so many little aspirations like that we can pray every day. And maybe you can just pick one and just kind of, savor that in your mind throughout the day. And then when you come to your specific time of prayer, your special time with the Lord that you've set aside, you can really use that again as kindling for that fire. And some people even use these little aspirations almost like a password for the day. Tell me the password. Well, what do I mean by that? For example, some people use if they're working in a place where they go up and down the stairs a lot, or maybe you, for exercise reasons, are taking the stairs when you go into your building. It's like, "I'm not going to take the elevator. I need to work off this gut from all the summer barbecues." And when you're going up and down the stairs, you can say, "He must increase, I must decrease." That's a good one to pray. That's from John, of course, John the Baptist, who saw himself as the best man, as the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom, rather, the best man. He says, "Hey, he must become greater, I must become less. I'm here to point people to Jesus." And there's a famous painting of John the Baptist where the finger of John the Baptist is pointing to Jesus. We have to be like that finger. Our whole lives have to be like that finger pointing to Jesus, saying, "He must increase, I must decrease. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about him. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory." And so now, talk about the finger can be used. People give each other the finger on the road and in a different way. That's not right. We don't want to curse people. We want to bless people. We want to point them to Jesus. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. So I asked you, what's the best piece of advice that you ever received? It could be anything. It could be in the spiritual life. It could be something more. I was going to say practical, but being spiritual is very practical. It's reality, right? Reality is kind of a piece, right? And it could be about family life, could be about work, whatever. So we had an off-air caller from Chicago who called in and said, "My mother always told me," and you probably heard this too from your mom or your dad, "if you can't say anything nice about someone, don't say anything at all." You'll never regret not saying something, but you'll often regret, opening your trap, as my dad used to say. All right, how about, this is another one. Maggie from Michigan also called in off air. Didn't want to come on the air. That's okay, maybe you're a little shy, but Maggie from Michigan said, "It's important to forgive, but not reconnect too soon." That's interesting. It's important to forgive, but not reconnect too soon. Well, I'd say that depends. That depends on what the situation is, for sure. And by the way, forgiving doesn't mean, and sometimes people have to forgive some very serious offenses, it doesn't mean that you're going to have the warm and fuzzies towards this person, especially if they haven't repented for what they've done or shown any remorse. But so we're not saying you have to be best buddies and go to the movies together. And producer Jim was just telling me, when he goes to the movies, he loves to put Junior Mints on his... Well, you don't have to do that together. Junior Mints on your popcorn and share that. You don't have to do that. But forgiveness is an act of the will. We need God's grace to be able to do that. But it depends. Like, when you're ready, if it's someone who you know, who you love, and you have to have this relationship, how much time you want to keep them in the doghouse. I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily a good idea. But interesting. Thanks for that, Maggie from Michigan. Let's go to the phones right now. If you want to call in with the best advice that you've ever received, I want to hear about this. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Liz in Houston. Hello, Liz.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. The best advice I got was from my father. He said, "Save and invest."
Did you heed the advice?
I did. I'm a wealthy woman today.
Well, you know, that's a great thing, and you can, I'm sure you're a good steward of that, Liz. The as God gives us time, talent, and treasure in various proportions, and it's a sacred trust for sure. And but that's so true. And we were just talking about this a couple days ago on the show. I think it was on Monday. And this whole concept of compound interest. And I was going to say Mark Twain said this, but Patrick Incorrect, he didn't say that. It was someone else who said that compound interest was the eighth wonder of the world. Einstein, yeah, thanks, Patrick. Yeah, I'm no Einstein. See, I already forgot. It was only a couple days ago. But yeah, this, when I first learned about this when I was in university, I was just blown away that over time, the compounding, things can grow. And we have to make investments in eternal life as well. So that's the best long-term retirement policy for sure. And thanks, Liz, for that call. And thanks for listening. That's Liz in Houston. All right, now let's go to Chandler, Arizona. Let's go to, wasn't there a song about that? Chandler's. No, it's not Chandler, Arizona, but Debbie was in, it was the Eagles. But Debbie is in Chandler, Arizona. And Debbie, you're welcome to give us your advice, the best advice you've ever received.
Oh, thank you, Cale. It was from my dad, and he said, hang on to your faith, because one day it will be all you have. Mm. And he was absolutely right. I went out and made an absolute train wreck of my life and turned around one day and there was my faith. And thank God for that. Thank God that my mom and dad gave me this. And he was absolutely right.
Whoa. Wow. That's powerful. And so just, it was a case of your parents had brought you up in the faith and it came back. It was there when you needed it. And you were able to grab onto it. That's powerful, Debbie.
Well, and it turned out, not only was it all I had, it turned out it was all I needed.
That's well put. That's really well put. And that's a great story too, because so many people, obviously, it's a common refrain. They despair. Their children or their grandchildren have kind of wandered away from the faith, and will they come back? And I always say that, you know, parents beat themselves up a lot over stuff like this, but you know, people have free will. Your children have free will, and if you've done what you can do, fulfilled the promises that you made at your child's baptism as best you could, with God helping you to inculcate the faith in your child, that does make an impression. And there a lot of times people will come back, and sometimes it's a crisis that drives people back. Maybe like what you had, Debbie, and I remember I have a priest friend who he actually prays for crises to come into people's lives, that they'll turn. I've never done that. I think, oh, I don't want to pray that. I don't want to wish ill on anyone. But for some people, you know, as the author Peter Crave says, pain is God's megaphone. It's for some people, it's the only way you can get their attention. So, anyways, God has His ways for sure. Thanks for that call, Debbie. That was Debbie in Chandler, Arizona. Now let's go to Nick in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Hello, Nick. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Cale. Best advice I ever had was from my spiritual director. He said, if you're not in a place to forgive, just tell God that I want to forgive. And if you're not in that place...
Nick, are you still there, or are you...
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll come back to you, Nick. Are you back?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. So just, why don't you start from the top again?
Sure, so... if you're not in a place to forgive, say to God, I want to forgive. And if you're not in that place either, say, I want to forgive.
Oh, wow. That's I really like that. I really like that. Nick from Rio Rancho, New Mexico. If you feel like you can't forgive, at least tell God, I want to forgive. And if you don't even feel that, I want to forgive. And that's part of it. Just is willing the will of God. Willing the will of God. And not my will, but thine be done. And that was what Jesus' prayer was, as we mentioned a few minutes ago in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did he feel like it? Did he feel like going to the cross? No, the cross did not feel good. The cross was one of the most horrendous. They actually had to invent a new word for it, excruciating. The word excruciating literally means out of the cross. It was one of the most barbaric punishments ever conceived. And so, no, everything in his being was saying, no, don't do this. I look for a way out of it. But he was able to rise above that. He was able to rise above that and unite, of course, his will with that of the Father, and he did it for us, and we're so eternally grateful for that. Let's go now to Buster in Washington, D.C. Hello, Buster. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Well, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten was when one tries to get rid of an addiction, like pornography or cigarettes, don't think of it as you're giving up something. You're sacrificing something. Don't think of it that way. Think of it as if you're giving up nothing, because it adds nothing to your life. So there is really no sacrifice. So, it's still going to be painful, but when you think of it as when you're giving up nothing, that makes it a lot easier. So like pornography, it like added nothing to like my life and other people's life. So giving it up was just, it was giving up nothing. And when I thought of it as nothing, it made it a lot easier to get rid of. So there's my piece of advice.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. And as Jesus said about the enemy, he's the father of lies. You know, he promises all kinds of things. If you do this, you'll feel good. If you do this, you'll be happy. And it's a lie. He doesn't have the power to give you what only God can give you, which is joy, peace, all the things that we're so grateful to him for. And that makes sense because, yes, he's very powerful. We need to respect his power. He's a fallen angel, preternatural intelligence, supernatural intelligence. He knows what's going on, and he's smart. He can observe what's going on in your life. He knows your actions, your behaviors, your habits, and he can kind of, work these things to tempt you. Well, the temptation comes from within ourselves, just our own concupiscence. Even after baptism, we're drawn to these things that we know are not good for us, and that's the original sin, right? As JP2 said, Pope John Paul II, he said, the original sin is the devil getting human persons to doubt their Father God, that their Father wants the best for them. No. Hey, maybe he's hiding something from you. Maybe you should try this. God knows your eyes will be open. You'll know the real deal here. It's a lack of faith. And that's really the original sin, a lack of faith in the fatherhood of God, in the good fatherhood of God. And that's important to remember. And he can't create anything. He's not God. He can't create anything. The only thing he can do is offer you disordered goods. He can take something good in creation that God meant to be good, like sexuality, for example, and twist it. Use it in the wrong way, at the wrong time, the wrong person. Use that faculty outside the sacred bond of marriage. And so that's what he does. Food is good. It's a gift, but gluttony is a sin. Scriptures say God gave us wine to gladden the heart, and I believe beer too. Scriptures talk about beer, but again, in moderation, because too much of it, we get into the sin of drunkenness, right? And it is a sin. It's a serious sin. So it's like that with almost everything. It's disordered good. So we have to be wise to his schemes. And I think that's what your call made me think of, Buster. So appreciate that. Hey, listen, many more calls from you coming in. I want to hear from as many of you as we can. What's the best piece of advice you ever received in any area of your life, your spiritual life, your work life, your family life, your friendships, whatever it may be? I want to hear it. Our listeners want to benefit from it. 888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show. Be right back after this quick break. Hang on.
Explaining the Catholic faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. We're asking for you to share with us the best piece of advice you've ever received. It could be about any subject. It could be faith-related, maybe something else. The best piece of advice, most life-changing advice you ever got, 888-914-9149. I want you to share it with me and everybody else who's listening as well. I just heard that was a good promo for Timory's show, which is coming up after this show, that she's having a gentleman's hour, and you don't have to be a gentleman to listen to it. So I guess I can listen now, too. So that's good. Good to know. Thank you, Timory. Appreciate that. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Larry in Fairfax, Virginia. Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Good, Dale. Great show. Great topic. I'm a Christian, and the best advice I've ever received was from a rabbi.
Oh.
And he said, before you give your opinion, always tell the truth first. And that is powerful medicine. And it gives one pause.
It does.
To be discerning and to be authentic. You know, I'm a pretty emotional guy, so this really hit home with me, and it's been very helpful.
Yeah, that's a really good one, Larry. I like that, and I love listening to rabbis too, because most rabbis that I've heard are super learned guys, and they have a lot of intriguing ways of putting things, and that's a good one. Before you give your opinion, always tell the truth first, and just as a reminder that we all see the world, you know, maybe through rose-colored glasses. Maybe some of us are more optimistic than pessimistic, but we all look at the world from a certain perspective, and the way we see it may or may not be in line with objective reality. And let's face it, we all bring biases to the table. Stuff, you know, our background, our baggage, whatever that may be, our upbringing, where we live, everything about us is kind of colors the way that we look at different things. So it's just good to be aware of that. It's just good to be aware of that. Doesn't mean that you're wrong all the time by any stretch of the imagination, but it's good to take that step back. It really is. And so, Larry, that's a great call. And I appreciate that. The fact that there are a lot of non-Catholics listening, a lot of non-Catholic Christians, a lot of non-Christians, skeptics, atheists, people from different backgrounds, even with respect to faith, or they're at various places on the journey, wondering if there even is a journey. It's great that you're all listening to this program. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. All right, let's go to Patty in Carmichael, California. Hi, Patty.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling in on this. Appreciate it.
Thank you. So my dad, I was raised in a Catholic Irish family. My dad was a policeman. My uncles were policemen. And my dad used to say, in addition to being the chosen people, we also have choices.
Hmm.
If you don't like your priest, find one you do. If you don't like the choir, find one you do.
Hmm.
If you don't like the donuts and coffee, if you don't like the stained glass, coming from a Catholic family, people talk about things they don't like about their church.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. And my dad used to say, stop. If you don't like it, find one you do.
Mm. No, Patty, that's actually, I actually agree with that. I actually agree with that. At first, I thought you say when you started saying the chosen people, you know, we're the chosen people as Catholics. I thought you were going to say because you're Irish Catholic, and I thought you were going to say because we're the chosen people as the Irish. And I come from an Irish background, so there's a joke that I was told. Why did they invent whiskey to keep the Irish from taking over the world? I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm Irish, so I can say that. I can use that joke. But this whole concept of if you don't like your parish, go to a different one. That's one of the great benefits of being Catholic. I'm not going to lie about this. The fact that it's a little bit like a franchise, you know, like McDonald's or something. Hey, if you don't like this parish, there is another parish nearby, usually, that is a valid Catholic parish. And there's this sort of age-old debate. If you find yourself in a bad situation, maybe your parish has a new priest and maybe he's not Orthodox, should you try to fix him or help the situation, or obviously pray for him for sure. If things are not going the way you want, do you stay because this is your geographical parish and this is in my territory, so I should probably go to this one? Or do you say, no, I'm going to try to find another one down the road that's a little bit more in keeping with what I'm looking for? Now, I think there's limits to this. You don't necessarily want to be a consumer when it comes to this stuff. But to me, I personally would go to the different parish because I'm not going to wait 12 years for the new pastor to arrive, right? I don't have that much time, right? Life is short. So I personally wouldn't fight the fight, but maybe I'm not thinking straight about this. Maybe you can correct my erroneous ways. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Let's go to Trisha, but I appreciate that, Patty. Let's go to Trisha, also in California, in Laguna excuse me, I said that wrong. Laguna, Laguna Niguel. I totally butchered that, didn't I, Tricia?
Yeah, it's Laguna Niguel.
Laguna Niguel. Oh, okay, all right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for disabusing me of my...
I'm in an Al-Anon program, a 12-step program, and there's a slogan, let go and let God.
Mm.
And our past, the father, he added to it in his homily, and let God be God. And I really like that because it reminds me to step back.
That's a powerful, powerful statement. Let go and let God, and let God be God. Mm. God is God and we are not. That is for sure. But that's, again, part of the original temptation, right? To kind of be like God. You know, you can be in control. You can control other people. And no, God is God. And we have to respect people's legitimate and genuine freedoms. That's really important. And I really like that. And the whole 12-step program as well, Tricia, is obviously based on Christian principles. And I greatly admire everybody who reaches out for help in that area, says, I'm going to go. I need this help. And it takes a big person to admit that they need help and ask for help. And God bless you for calling in, Tricia. That's great. And we'll be praying for you on your journey as well. So we had Pat. We had Tricia. Patricia, that's my wife's name. Great name. She goes by Trish or Tricia. But I find like most ladies who have that name, they're either Pat or Patty person, or they're a Tricia person. So what does that say about you? I have no idea. But let's go now to Julie. Julie in Maryland, in the United States of America, Mary's Land. Julie, what's on your mind? What's the best advice you've ever received?
Okay, well, first I want to say I'm Irish too, so I'm going to use that joke.
Use it, absolutely.
My dad always told me that no one is ever as bad or as good as you think they are. So you cannot judge them too harshly or put them too high on a pedestal because you just don't know the whole story.
That's very wise. That's very wise. And we tend to want to write people off, don't we, Julie? And we say, oh, this guy did this or whatever. But we don't. God always, number one, God always takes the long view with people's lives. And you never know how God is going to. Here's a great example. And he talks about this publicly. He's talked about this in his book. Scott Hahn was like a juvenile delinquent when he was in high school. He like committing petty offenses. And I don't know what he was doing. I can't remember. But who would have thought this? If you met this guy in high school, you wouldn't think he's going to become a famous theologian, you know, and write all these books and help people find Jesus Christ. But you never know. St. Paul, right? And another good example. Now, he's doing it out of zealousness for God, obviously. But and they always say, too, another thing that what you said, Julie, made me think of when you said your dad's advice, no one is as good or as bad as you think they are. It's good for ourselves, too. A little humility. We're not ready to be canonized yet, right? So until that last heartbeat, right? Maybe even 30 minutes afterwards, right? We have to remember we need to stay in a state of grace. We need to humbly ask God for forgiveness all the time and thank him for that. But whenever there's an offense committed, there's always, I always call it the CIA principle, and this is not unique to me. I got it from someone else who probably heard it from somewhere else, but CIA, circumstances, intentions and actions, right? So when we see an external sin happening, it's easy to say that act was a sin, you know, theft or whatever it may be. That was clearly the sin, the action, but we don't know what the intent was, and we don't know what the circumstances are necessarily either. You don't know the background. You know, maybe the person's family is starving, they have no job, and they stole the apple to try to feed their family, whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying the CI part, you don't always know, CIA. Circumstances, intentions, and actions. But we need to pray for people and be humble ourselves as well. So great call, Julie. Really appreciate that. Let's go now to Irene in Downers Grove, Illinois. Hi, Irene.
Hi. The best of advice I ever got was when I was a newlywed, and my mother told me, we got married in our 30s. My mother said, just because he doesn't do it your way does not mean that he's wrong.
Hmm. I hope my wife is listening as well. No, I'm only kidding. But that's really great marriage advice, and that is because especially if you get married a little bit later in life, it's we tend to get more set in our ways, don't we, as we get older. And sometimes it's hard to live with someone else, but that's part of the sanctification process, I think. St. Jose Maria always used to say, hey, if your character and the character of everybody else around you was as soft and sweet as a marshmallow, you would never become a saint. You know, this is just so sweet and lovely. But we do have defects, and we have those rough edges, and we kind of need to, with God's grace, smooth those out. And hey, that's what happens in a marriage, right? God calls us to marriage, those of us who are called to it. But it's basically two sinners moving in with one another, right? So we it's a process of sanctification. You help the other person become a saint. They help you to become a saint. Wow, that was a great question. What advice have you received? What's the best advice you've ever heard in your life? I'm so sorry we didn't get to Warren, Linda, call back tomorrow, Pat, Dan, another Laura in Washington, Wisconsin, Art in Rancho Cucamonga. That's a cool name as well. Love that place in California. Hey, call back tomorrow because I'm sorry I didn't get you on, but we'll try to tomorrow next time. If you missed any of the show, check the podcast later. Jim Shaper produced. Patrick Alog took your phone calls. We're keeping them busy today. Timory's up next. Stay tuned. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.